The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Terrific. How are you?
Lovely. Are you itchy thinking about all the bugs we're going to talk about?
I am. We have Andy Tay for the fifth week in a row. Andy is the regional manager of Orkin Pest Control. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming back. We have so much more to cover.
Mm-hmm.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live button and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Our listings usually have a virtual tour or YouTube video, or in some cases, both. Also, our archive radio shows are on jruddy.com, and that's for the last 3 years. Andy Tay.
Yes.
Tell me about you.
Tell me again.
Yes.
Well, I've been doing this for 20 years. I started as a technician, worked my way up, did quite a few courses, Purdue University, entomology, that kind of stuff. But I've been working for Orkin for a long time and been loving it.
Orkin is the largest pest control company
in the world.
In the U.S., in the world.
That's right. We do more residential pest control than any other company in the world. We do more commercial pest control than any other company in the world.
Okay. Today, I thought we would focus our discussion on stink bugs.
The brown marmorated stink bug, yes.
Where did they come from?
Yes.
It seems like they appeared out of nowhere.
When I was a kid, I never saw them.
That's right. They weren't here. You know, they're like a lot of bugs that we run into. Unfortunately, they were introduced in 1998 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They opened crates of products that were shipped from Asia, Japan, that kind of area, Korea, where stink bugs are naturally found. And they opened these up and they saw all these bugs crawling out. And they were able to save some. And we were able to identify them as this stink bug. So they've taken off from there. Quite a few of them escaped.
Yes, I know. Into my house.
Into your house, yes.
Into the attic,
yes. Yeah, especially love to winter over in people's homes. While we see some year-round now, they'll winter over in your attics, around your ductwork,
exactly,
and your walls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a lady one time who had her siding replaced, and she couldn't believe the number of dead stink bugs she found behind her siding. It was kind of unbelievable, too, when I saw it.
Wonderful. Okay. Why are they called stink bugs?
Oh, I know why.
You know why?
Yeah, I do. They stink. Nasty.
They stink. They have a unique defensive mechanism of releasing that stink out of their glands underneath their thorax.
When you kill them.
When they're squished. Threatened.
Okay,
and
when
killed,
they're threatened.
And it's designed to protect them from their natural predators, birds, stuff like that.
Are they destructive?
They are very destructive to our farms, especially our fruit farms. Some of our corn, the soybean crops are very vulnerable to stink bugs. So they're kind of a horrible bug in that area. Now, when we look at it from a home standpoint, which I know you sell homes, we do worry about stink bugs wintering over in such large numbers in some people's homes. A couple, it don't matter so much, but in large numbers, their fecal matter can pile up and it's known it can set off asthma and allergy attacks. So it's something we don't want to have in our house.
Right, right. Well, we've taken measures.
They were in the curtains around the air conditioner and it was October. And I thought there was only one or two and there was a lot more than that in the curtains.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they were nasty.
They like to go into the folds.
Yeah, they're hiding, and they are light attractants, so sometimes you'll see them bouncing off the light bulb or the lamp. or the window.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they are a health concern?
Because of their fecal matter, yes, in large numbers. Now, a couple, don't matter so much. Get a vacuum cleaner. But, more than a couple are a concern, like a lot of insects.
So what can a property owner or homeowner do to keep them out?
One of the things that we talk about most with stink bugs is reducing their entry points, sealing, exclusion, caulk, sealing around windows, trying to keep it. But it is amazing the tight cracks and crevices they can exploit to get into a home. So we do have treatments that are very effective now. A few years ago, we were kind of caught off guard with this resurgence of stink bugs, and we didn't have the products we do have now. We have newer microencapsulated products that are very effective.
Yeah, because there was a stink bug flying around the house. I sprayed him with some stuff, and he cursed at me and just kept flying. It didn't have any effect on him at all.
It was ineffective. Okay,
he drank it. Yeah.
So they came to be in the U.S. in 1998 in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
That's where they were first documented, that we found them coming out of packages.
So are they widespread through the U.S. or are they just in the northeast part of the country?
Well, a lot of people think they're just in the northeast. Now they're documented that they're in over 40 states. They've really gotten a lot worse than a lot of people believe, because I know around here we think, they're in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and just the surrounding states, but they've really gotten quite bad.
So they like to travel.
They do. They do.
Far and wide. Okay. How about centipedes?
Oh, yeah.
Those ugly things with all those legs.
Yes, they can get quite large, actually. Going from 1 inch to 4 inches long. They call them thousand leggers. That's not really true, because they can have anywhere from 7 pairs of legs to 40 pairs of legs.
Wow. Okay. So how long do these creatures live?
Well, most live up to a year, to a year and a half, or 6 years sometimes in ideal conditions. But the ones that we talk about most are about a year, the house centipede. But they're kind of a gross bug.
What do they eat?
Well, in nature, now, of course, a lot of these insects start in nature and come in. But they'll eat worms, spiders, other insects. And again, they're nocturnal, coming out primarily at night, hunting for their prey. And then their venom is bitten into the insect, and it dies, and then they feed on that.
Can they bite people, these things?
Well, they can, actually. And again, it's more defensive. It's more when you startle them, when you move something and don't realize they're there and accidentally bite people. And you could have an allergic reaction to that. That's pretty rare. But if you get any more than a little red, well, I say this week after week, go to the doctor. You could also get a dirty insect bite, especially with centipedes. They don't feed on things that we do. They're not clean eaters. So you can get something deposited underneath your skin that'll cause an infection.
All of these topics, centipedes, stink bugs, termites, ants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lice, on and on. Fleas, cockroaches, spiders. We've talked about all their bad qualities. Do they have any good qualities? Because I don't see it. I don't know it, but you would.
I know. It's really hard to find it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But they say even centipedes are beneficial in a way. They kill other bugs. Like, I don't know if I'd want centipedes in my home. But, other birds, small animals feed on these insects and then feed other insects. So do they have benefit? We always look for benefit in these insects.
And we were talking during one break about termites. What would the forest floor be like without termites?
Yeah, termites eat and digest dead wood. Now, I always found that amazing that they don't harm a live tree. And sometimes you'll see them on a big dead spot at the base of the tree, but they don't harm a live tree. Now, when a branch falls down or a tree falls down, they eat it, break it down into natural byproducts that another tree can reuse. But if we didn't have termites as part of our nature, it's estimated we'd have 10 to 15 feet of logs and sticks and branches in our woodlands that we'd have to walk on to get through our woods.
Are these the lies we tell ourselves to make us, like, okay with these
so I can sleep
things
at night?
Yeah.
Give me my peace. Let me sleep at night. I don't want to, think about these bugs. Now, what you can do to reduce centipedes and these bugs around your home, again, these are part of nature. So if you can reduce that leaf litter that's keeping other bugs, the moisture around your home will be very beneficial, especially outside directly around your foundation walls. Keep the log pile away from your home. Trim your bushes back. Just kind of keep those things pushed back.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that over and over. Seal the cracks. Seal the areas where these little things can come in, and keep things away from the home. Keep everything manicured.
Yeah, or you could live in a submarine. You know, those are always tight. Mm-hmm. Keep bugs out.
Yeah, but the roaches would get in there too, probably.
They're already there.
How about moths?
Moths. A common question. Now, we have our regular moths that are drawn to lights outside, and they're not so much of an issue. And then we have our clothing moths that feed on natural fibers, wools, cottons. But the most common moth we get a call about is the Indian meal moth. And that's that moth that when you buy something at the store, you might accidentally bring home with you. Now, it's not the manufacturer's fault, and it's typically not the store's fault. The manufacturers, the government realized the manufacturers cannot be 100% insect-free. So for every 1,000 bags of flour, they have certain tolerances. They allow, say, 10 bugs. Boxes of cereal, same thing. Dog food, cat food, these kind of things, the drains. So you go to the store, you buy a box of something, you take them home with you. And if you don't eat it quickly, they can breed and multiply and spread to other boxes of food and throughout your kitchen cabinets. Now, some people call me because they see the little worms first. They look about 3/4 inch long with the Indian meal moth, kind of a yellowish, whitish in color with a darker head, crawling out of the cabinets, and then they'll cocoon kind of at the ceiling corners, those kind of places like that. And I'll be called out, and I'll go through the kitchen cabinets with them. I'll actually physically open the boxes of cereal. We'll pull the bag out. Even if it's never been opened before, I'll open a box and I'll pull a bag out, and we'll see a little hole in it. We'll see a couple of these worms in there. And then I'll say, we have to throw that out. And we'll go through all the items. And if I open a box and I see a little cocoon in there, we got to throw it out. When in doubt, throw it out. The canned items are fine. The jarred items are fine. Usually the spices are fine. But those box dried food products and pet foods, when in doubt, throw it out. Clean out your cabinets real good. You have a chance of getting rid of those yourself. If you can't get rid of them, we can help.
Okay. What's your contact information, Andy?
Well, again, it's you can just go to orkin.com, or you can call us at 1-800-261-2847.
Can they make you sick?
That's a good question, and I think that's why the government allows so many bugs per bag, because they really can't.
The government allows bugs. Yeah.
And they realize they can't be 100%
insect-free. They can't control.
I can't control everything, and do you really want them to? Because we'd have to put so many pesticides on our farm fields to get to that point that we would be 100%. I don't know that that's beneficial. So you have to kind of balance things, and that's kind of where they balanced it. But there's no studies, the Indian meal moth, the red flower beetle, the sawtooth grain beetle, the weevils, there's no studies to say any of those can make you sick, but I certainly don't want to eat them.
No, thank you. They're crunchy,
I'll pass. In fact, I think I'm going to skip lunch today.
Yeah. Okay.
Pat, would you like to review a listing before we go to break?
Yes, we have a move-in condition three-bedroom home located at 1706 Harding Street in Scranton for $124,000. This home has a new kitchen and a new bath. It has a large master bedroom with a walk-in closet. It also has off-street parking and a built-in one-car garage. The house has been freshly painted, and the upstairs has hardwood floors under the carpeting. So if you're looking for a three-bedroom home with a new kitchen and bathroom, give us a call about 1706 Harding Street in Scranton for $124,000, and that is listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
Thank you, Pat. The Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics for Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, Wyoming, for the last 30 days, how did people pay for their property, their single-family home? 27.8% came to the closing table with cash. They didn't need financing. 46.4% used a conventional loan, mortgage. 19% used a Federal Housing Administration, that's the FHA mortgage. And 3.5% used a Veterans Administration, a VA mortgage. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break.
As an Orkin man, I know bed bugs are just tiny vampires. Not the dreamy kind with great hair. The six-legged kind that can drink in 5 times their weight in a single feeding. I also know they're not found just in bedrooms. In the lab, they can build immunity to regular treatments in 2 generations. But when I alternate my treatments, 2 generations become no generations. Orkin. Pest control down to a science. Call 1-800-GO-ORKIN for a bed bug inspection today.
As an Orkin man, I know I'm not the first person you think of when it comes to attic insulation. But my Orkintherm can help you save on energy bills. And here's the gravy. It's infused with natural boric acids that roaches, silverfish, beetles, and other pests find as tolerable as a finger in their compound eyes. So help keep your heat in, your bills low, and pests out. Orkintherm by Orkin. Pest control down to a science. For a free estimate, call 1-800-GO-ORKIN. Savings may vary.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
How you doing, Jackie? I'm itchy.
Yes.
I'm scratching all over the place.
I'm actually very good.
Okay.
And I am enjoying somewhat the conversation. But I have to say, Andy Tay, regional manager with Orkin Pest Control, I have never seen someone other than my 8-year-old son, someone so excited to discuss these types of things, all these bugs, insects.
Yeah, it is very interesting, isn't it? And, you know, I know I'm probably your least favorite guest you ever had.
No, not true.
I'm so happy to be
here. The topic is not my favorite, but we're getting a lot of information here.
This affects everybody, even if you're not buying or selling a house. Everybody's got bugs now and then.
Right.
Everybody does happen.
Has to deal with them, and to know what to do when you do find them is always good information to know. Okay, so we've spent a lot of time the last 4 or 5 weeks on insects, bugs, arachneas. We're going to move our discussion now into rats and mice.
Oh, small mammals.
Oh, this is awesome. You know, I got to tell you, I am a rodent droppings expert. So you can describe a dropping to me, and I will tell you what that was from.
All right. Lucky
I'm proud
us.
Of that.
Okay,
I'm proud of that.
You should be. That's quite an achievement, Andy.
Yes.
All right. So rats. How big can they get?
Real big. They can actually get to be the weight of 1 pound. They can get quite large, about 12 to 16 inches in length with that tail. And we do run into them still here in Pennsylvania.
Well, one time we were in Manhattan walking to our hotel on our way, broad daylight.
42nd Street,
and
down by Grand Central.
Okay. And my eyes started screaming. There was 3 or 4 of them.
Coming out of a garbage bag right on the corner.
Right. And then everybody behind me started screaming. And my son, he now goes to Manhattan searching for rats.
That's right. When we go down the subway, I say, they run along the rails. Look down there.
They catch us off guard, too, when we see them. It's always a start. You're looking for them. You know they're there. And then all of a sudden, you see when it moves and you jump. Yeah, we don't like that. But, you know, kind of an interesting trivia thing is in Africa, they have a type of rat that actually gets to 12 pounds in size. And it's kind of a pet. They actually use that to help detect mines and stuff like that. They train this rat. So it's really kind of a good thing we don't have that rat.
Thank God. Yes. Now, can they get into the house?
Yeah, it's amazing the tight cracks and crevices they can exploit to get into the home. We always talk about rats needing a hole the size of a $0.50 to get in. But you can see them squish their way on videos underneath refrigerators to get to the dog food or wherever.
You could see mice, but rats?
Well, yeah, you can definitely see them if you see them.
You could see that a mouse would get in, but these large...
Well, yeah, and where we run into these most commonly is around farms, large farms, the neighborhoods there, sometimes rivers. Rats need a lot of moisture, so we very commonly find them when we find them near large bodies of water, around a lake or something like that.
You had a question, Pat?
Can rats come up through the sewer pipes and through the toilet? Is it possible?
Yeah.
It can, huh?
It is. It's rare, but it does happen. And, you know, I got to tell you, I saw this. We were kind of trying to figure out what rats really could do and what they couldn't do. They are excellent swimmers, and they can swim through pipes. So they had a clear pipe going down with a U full of water, and you could see a rat actually
right
through that trap and going up. And they actually showed a video of a rat climbing a 3-story brick building once and squishing in a roof. I thought that was amazing. They're good jumpers. They can jump 2 feet. So they're kind of tough critters to keep out of a structure. So you have to have it really tight. Oh, and you know, an interesting thing that I saw, that's really amazing to me. We know there are gnawing rodents. They chew on wood to make holes and larger. They certainly have to chew to sharpen their teeth, but they can actually break little pieces of cinder block away. So they can chew through cinder block to get into a home if they have a good starting point.
Okay, so it can fall from a 5-story building without any injury.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It can go longer without water than a camel?
Yes, yes. You know, rodents in general, they get all the moisture they need from their food. But yes, rats can go longer.
How long
than a
do
camel.
They live? Can they die?
Can they die? Yeah. You know, it varies from different types. The Norway roof rat, in ideal conditions, they usually live 18 months, give or take, you know, year to 2 years, that area. But they can breed very rapidly. A mating pair will have 5 litters in their lifetime with 7 to 15 rats each time.
Ooh.
So, you know, a couple rats can be a lot of rats in a very short amount of time.
Okay. So, and they're in the house and they're gnawing through wires?
Wires, that's one of the concerns we have with any type of rodents. They're gnawing nature. They need to chew to sharpen the teeth. So they will chew on wires, and of course there's a fire risk there. There's certainly health risk from their droppings, hantavirus or other viruses. Sometimes people think, I'd say rats and mice, people think to get the flu in the winter because they came in contact with somebody who had the flu. Well, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just rodent droppings in their house, mice or rat. So that's scary. And we talked about how quickly they breed. Another health issue we run into with rats, Toxoplasma gondii. It's a protozoan or parasite that's transmitted from rat through a flea to a cat. And this is why doctors will tell pregnant women or women who are pregnant not to clean the litter box, because they can actually get that. And it's very dangerous to, you know, unborn children.
Okay. So what's the treatment for, is it the same for mice and rats?
Similar. Rats are very picky eaters, so we really have to be careful what types of baits they eat.
That's funny you say that they're picky. I saw them in a bag of garbage. I mean, how picky could they be?
I know, really. But, you know, they really want to sample an item and taste it, and, you know, and then they'll feed here a little bit. And if they just eat a little bit of bait and it makes them feel a little sick, they'll never eat that again. They are very smart creatures. So, we started using some soft baits, not the hard block baits that you buy at the stores for rats that are very attractive to them. And we use oftentimes a liquid bait that's also very attractive to rats, so that we can get them to have that bait acceptance, so that we can really knock them out of a house or a structure.
Okay. There's plug-in noise devices. Do they actually work?
Well, that's good you asked that, because, you know, I saw a different video on this too, because they had... Now, this video had mice in it, but mice and rats are similar. Okay, so if you can picture an aquarium to the right and an aquarium to the left attached with a little tube, and two of these plug-in devices, one on either end of the aquarium, they turn one off and one on, and you see all the rats run from one side to the other, or mice. They turn the other one on and the other one off, and they'd all run back to the other side, and you're thinking, wow, these are working great. And then they do this for about 5 minutes, and they adapt. They get used to that noise, and it doesn't bother them. So short-term, it can seem like these devices work. But long-term, I got to tell you, I found roaches nesting behind these devices and walls. I found mouse droppings on these devices. Long-term, they're just ineffective. That's why we don't use them at Orkin as a pest control device. We just really want to get rid of these critters.
And does it take a lot to get rid of them? I mean, how many times do you have to go to a property?
Well, it varies depending upon the population, the difficulty of treatment. One of our biggest fears is that we're not getting them at the source, and we're doing something we call harvesting mice or harvesting rats, meaning they're breeding and multiplying in the attic that might be enclosed, we might not have access to. And we're just constantly trapping them in the bedrooms upstairs in the kitchen, and we're not completely getting them out. And then month after month, we're still catching 3 and 4 and 3 and 4, and it just goes on and on. We're harvesting them because they're breeding and multiplying somewhere else. So we really have to get to the source. And if we can diagnose that properly when we do an inspection and treat it right, we can really do a very good job of getting rid of them quickly. If we can't, we have trouble.
So what do we do as homeowners, property owners?
Oh, to protect yourself from rats?
Yeah, protect us from and the invasion.
The invasion from these rodents that are coming from the outside in. So that's where we talk first. Now, all rodents have their natural predators: birds, owls, hawks, neighborhood cats. and they're nocturnal. They're trying to stay low, hidden from their predators. So if you can reduce that growth outside, the debris, the yardage, that does a tremendous job of reducing mice infiltrating your home. Even if you have a cornfield behind your house, if you do a really good job keeping your grass cut on a regular basis, that'll reduce them. And then you go to exclusion from there, sealing off all these holes. With a rat, we talked about half dollar. With a mouse, we really talk about a nickel. It's incredible. So we stuff corner J channels on the corner soffits with copper stuffit or steel wool, something of that equivalent. Just sealing things off can reduce these mice getting into your home. And then beyond that, you just have to keep an eye at your house and look for those places.
To move the garbage cans away from the side of the house. So I moved them from the side of the house. Now they're back by the garage. So that's what somebody told me.
So now you get mice in the garage.
Well, it's right better than in the house.
I had a new car lot. This is incredible to me that this happened. They were near farm fields. They had a lot of grass, but nice trees around it. And the gentleman was telling me, Andy, you have to help me. I have people test driving my brand new cars, and the cars are breaking down while they're test driving them. Because rodents, mice, chipmunks, not rats, but rodents were getting into the car engines and they were chewing through the wires. They were actually tearing away insulation from the battery panels or the battery around the battery case and using that as nesting material in brand new cars, if you can imagine.
So. No, I can't imagine that. Okay. So also, rats can survive large doses of radiation.
Yeah.
And they can swim. You talked about them being excellent swimmers. They can swim for half a mile across open water.
Oh, absolutely. They are, very, very tough critters. The other thing that's really interesting about rats is they can actually develop not resistance, but tolerance to certain types of rodenticides, meaning that if they feed on these for a while, they won't kill them anymore. You know, we have to get the right rodenticide in these rats and just knock them out quickly.
Wonderful news, Andy. Andy Tay, Regional Manager, Orkin Pest Control. Once again, I need your contact information, please.
Okay. Again, you can just go to our website, orkin.com, or you can call 1-800-261-2847, and we'll be happy to help you out.
Okay. Will you come back next week for the sixth week? So we can talk about bats, squirrels, skunks, raccoons, groundhogs.
Do you really want me to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. We got to come
on. We want to talk about those things.
It gets uglier. Yeah, histoplasmosis. Oh. Okay, I'll
come
back.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it too, Jack.
All right, thank you. Pat, would you like to review two listings, please?
We have a two-family home located at 510 Laurel Street in Dunmore for $89,000. This building has two-bedroom apartments. This would be a great investment property, or live in one unit and have the rent pay the mortgage. Both units have nice wood cabinets in the kitchen, and the second-floor bath was recently remodeled. And the owner said that Frankie Valli would often visit this home during his childhood, so I don't know about that. We'll have to check that one out. So if you're looking for a two-unit in Dunmore, give us a call about 510 Laurel Street for $89,000. And I also have a gorgeous three-bedroom, two-bath home located at 49 Grove Road in Scott Township for $249,000. Enjoy this little slice of heaven with beautiful oak floors, large screened-in porch, and a family room with a fireplace. It also has a rear deck and a fenced-in pool area. It is located on a large level lot that is almost an acre, and it has a built-in two-car garage. Also, the lower level can be a fourth bedroom or a separate living area for a family member. It is move-in ready and waiting for its new owners. So give us a call about 49 Grove Road in Scott Township, a three-bedroom, two-bath, move-in condition home for $249,000.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.